This week, our final show of 2018, we take a look back on an up and down year in Boston sports and across the wide world of sports. The good, the bad, and the ugly, we'll remember it all. This is the year-end edition of Callin' It, and it starts right now. Welcome into Callin' It, the final show of 2018. My name is Alex Barth. He is Alex Lebowitz. We apologize coming to you 2 days late. I know we said in the last one we would record on Christmas, but hey, even the Jews were busy on Christmas this year, I guess.
It's a happening holiday. It's everybody who's anybody does.
This point. It's more cultural at this point than anything else.
I mean, of course it is. I mean, the tree, there's nothing Christian about a tree. That's like it's a ceremonious thing.
Well, if you put a bunch of crosses on it.
Yeah, no one's doing that. They might put an angel on top.
Let's not start two shows with heavy religious discussion.
Two Jews on Christianity. Let's go.
There's a podcast. Seriously, anybody wants to host that podcast, let me know. Get in touch with the bigwigs at CLNS. By the way, we are brought to you by CLNS. Check them out online, clnsmedia.com. For the record, we're recording Thursday, December 27th. And it is our last show of the year. Like I said, we had a lot of fun this year. It was the first year that you and I did the show together for a full calendar year, right? You jumped on like June last year?
Yeah, right around June of 2017.
Yep. So first full calendar year doing the show. We're still going. I'm impressed, honestly. I'm impressed with our dedication. We plan on keeping going.
How many episodes are we at? We got to be approaching 100,
right?
Right
near 100, and I was counting, and I stopped. We might be right near there. I'll look. If we watch, this is going to be like 101.
If we got over 100, I'm going to be pissed. Like, we missed a perfect marketing opportunity.
So let's do this then. If sum up in 30 – well, I look this up. Sum up in 30 seconds sports in Boston in 2018. Go.
Overall, good. You had two teams that made it to their respective championship rounds, one of them winning it, and two other teams that went into the playoffs, not super deep, but they got in there. At least one of them got pretty deep in the playoffs. So it's a good year. A good year in Boston sports. I think we're pretty much used to it at this point. We saw a bounce back season from the Red Sox, a year in which they lived up to their potential, but at the same time, the potential demise of a Patriots organization. But all in all, I think most teams have a good future ahead of them.
So before we get to my thought, this is, according to Audio Boom, where we upload the podcast, this is the 108th upload. But are we counting the NFL recaps we did last year as episodes?
I think for the sake of making sure we can market the 100th episode, no.
Because I think that would make this the 100th episode.
You might be right.
It's about – we're right about there. We're very close to it. So we'll call this 100th, end of the year, 100th episode, spectacular, all of it. And I love that we get to end it talking about, you know, after the Super Bowl, what was a pretty good year in Boston sports. Like you said, the Celtics definitely brought us on a fun ride. The Bruins got to the playoffs, which was cool. They hadn't been, you know, competitive in the playoffs, at least in a while. They've barely even been there. And then, of course, the Red Sox, they brought us another title. We got a parade in 2018. It just feels like a parade year, right? 2018, like that year's like 2006. Nothing about the year 2006 sounds spectacular. Nothing sounds memorable. 2018 sounds memorable, and I'm glad that we were able to make it memorable with at least one title. A Patriots title would still technically be 2018, so we will see. But I'm glad we got a title out of this year. I think this year certainly deserved one.
Absolutely. You saw a lot of great games and a lot of breakout performances and a lot of just breakout athletes in general. And I'll go back to a point I made earlier. A lot of them are young. You know, Andrew Benintendi. You have Mookie Betts, who won the MVP. A guy like Nathan Eovaldi, who comes out of nowhere. And a David Pastrnak with the breakout season that he's had, and he's building off of from last season.
I mean, obviously, a lot of years with the Bruins, yeah.
And obviously the Celtics have a ton of young talent that don't even have to mention it. So overall, it's been awesome to watch. It's been great to watch. And, you know, I think that's the only consolation to the fact that the Patriots have been on the decline over the past 12 months or so.
Well, I think you can say it this way. Even though the Patriots are on the back nine, and there is still some young talent in New England, James White's still relatively young. Sony Michel looks like he is upside. J.C. Jackson looks like he's going to be another UDFA solid. But, like, there's some youth on the Patriots, but Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski towards the end. But this run, right, that's now at two decades for Boston sports, with guys like Mookie Betts, with guys like Jason Tatum, with guys like David Pastrnak, I mean, that's the Brady Ortiz Pierce of the next generation. With those guys, you know, will they match, what is it now, 10 titles in 18 years, 11 titles 11. In 18 years? Will they match that? Maybe, but we're not going to be having any top draft picks around here for a while, at least unless the Nets decide to help us out again. But certainly no Boston teams are going to be picking towards the top of the draft for the foreseeable future. A lot of good young talent, and we kind of said that last year, but it certainly felt around like 2014, 2015 that these teams were starting to get old and this was maybe coming to an end. And you've had this combination of the young talent and then guys like Patrice Bergeron and Tom Brady and David Ortiz before he retired, extending the end of their careers, and they've kind of carried it over. And it doesn't look like we're in for a lull that 2 or 3 years ago it looked like might happen, right? 2019 has the potential certainly to be a two-banner year between the Patriots and between the Celtics and the Red Sox, certainly. You never know what the Bruins can do if they get hot at the right time. The Patriots are always dangerous. We got a title in 2018. That number could go up in 2019. All right, before we wrap this up and we get on to the wide world of sports, give me a bold prediction for how about this? Well, let's start here. Give me a sports prediction for 2019 for Boston. And then I have a follow-up.
2019 for Boston. I think there's going to be a big trade with the Red Sox. I think it's going to be – and this isn't that bold. I think a lot of people are probably expecting this. But
Rick Porcello
for sure, but I'm thinking even along the lines of like a Xander Bogaerts potentially being dealt by Dombrowski. It just seems like with all the young talent they have, you can't keep them all. And you might even see that this upcoming offseason. Obviously, Anthony Davis has been talked about. So you can see that with the Celtics. I think you can see a lot of moving parts in Boston over this next year.
Let us remember last time Alex Leibowitz made a prediction. It was 2 weeks before Pablo Sandoval got cut. He was leaving the country. And then the day before we did the next show, his prediction came right. So he's a bit of a sage. My big prediction for Boston sports for 2019 is that I'm just going to say we get another parade. I know that's not really bold, but I do feel very confident we're getting another parade. All right, give me a non-sports-related Boston prediction for 2019.
A non-sports-related Boston prediction. Oh, that's a tough one. Maybe that's sports-related. You see, my mind's always going to sports. I was going to say maybe the Olympics talk starts up again.
Oh, gross. Please, but no.
I don't think – hey, who knows? Maybe this is where I'll go. Maybe the T. Let's talk about renovating the T.
Ooh, I like it.
Because Boston's such a great city, and it's so well renovated. It's become such a, you know, metropolis type of place. Yep. But – the public transportation stinks, and people rather have good public transportation than, you know, bike lanes. So I think you're going to start seeing that conversation heat up.
Well, they've been talking about it for some time. So
and pot shops.
They're both related. The pot shop, the money is supposed to go to fix the tea. So that's nice. My Boston non-sports related prediction for 2019 is that these new skyscrapers will stop looking like they suck. So if you drive to the city, you know they just built a new one. It's the I think it's a Four Seasons. It's like a tall triangular glass building.
Yeah, it is.
True.
Yeah.
There's another one going up sort of near there, and then there's going to be another one going up in the North End. And I've been looking at that same skyline for 24 years, right? And it's like jarring to me to see it. And I know I had talked to other people who feel the same way. My bold prediction is in 2019, once they get these other buildings up and it's built up a lot more, it's going to look more natural. So my prediction is a more beautiful skyline for Boston in 2019. I guess that's sort of subjective, but
no, I think you'll be right. I can't wait till Causeway, till that TD Garden setup is.
I just can't wait for them to be done with that construction. It's a pain in the ad. There's my prediction for 2019. I'm going to be able to park for Celtics games at one point in 2019 because that's impossible right now. It is. That's going to be a whole thing if we go down that road. I'll save that for another time. All right, so we did this last year. We had some fun. We picked out a couple categories. We tried to go off of what the usual, like player of the year and, you know, moment of the year and that. Some of them are similar, but we also have some unique categories. So we did it last year. We did it this year. These are the categories. And then If you visit our Twitter at Callnut Podcast throughout the next week, we will be putting up Twitter polls for all of these categories, and we will let you vote and we will discuss them on the next show. So stick around on the other side. We will have, we'll call them the of the year awards, the everything of the year. You're listening to Callnut, powered by CLNS.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Calling It, Alex Barth, along with Alex Lebowitz. It is time to take a look at the year in the world of sports with our of the year awards. So we got seven categories, right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight categories. We changed some of the ones from last year. If you followed the show from last year, we got rid of some. We added some. We actually have one more total. But so these are just, we kind of put our thoughts down. Obviously, if you agree, if you disagree, let us know on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. And we will be putting up polls for these so people actually get to vote. This isn't just our discussion. We'll decide a winner, and we'll discuss it on the next show. All right, Lebowitz, you ready?
I am.
All right, let's start off with a pretty basic one, but a good one. Game of the year. So when you look at the first couple of these awards, what we realized is the real reason we did this last year was we wanted another excuse to talk about the Super Bowl, 28-3 Patriots-Falcons. This year, we don't want to talk about the Super Bowl as much. So some of these we had to get really introspective with. Game of the year was one of them. You have the Super Bowl again, which do you want to gloss over that?
We can gloss over
it. Okay, we'll go to the Super Bowl, Patriots, Eagles. Everybody knows what happened. Yeah. The Alabama-Georgia National Championship, right? So you go to halftime, Alabama sucking. Tua comes in, just brings them back. Third and 24, throws a touchdown in overtime to win it. Awesome game. World Series Game 3. That was the 18-inning game, so the Red Sox did lose it, but they won the World Series, so we get to enjoy it. We have Boston teams losing two of the four of these. I just realized that. We lost some heartbreakers this
year. That's typical Boston sports media, though, right?
That's right. And then Rams-Chiefs would be the other one, the big race. It's very rare those big games live up to the hype, but that one did. That was a lot of fun. So, I mean, I'm biased. I'm going to go Bama-Georgia. I thought that was just excellent football, and I'd been waiting all year to see Tua get into a game. And he just never did until then. So that's mine. I don't know about. I know you're not a big college football guy, so you'll probably go elsewhere.
I'm going with Game 3 of the World Series. Okay. I'll be honest. I'm a baseball fan. I'm a big time baseball fan. I love it. Most people don't like 18 in baseball games. I'm one of the few that does. And the reason I think this is the best game of the year is simply because you never see anything like that. Right. You never see a game go that long, let alone a World Series game. And you'll never see a pitching performance like what you saw out of Nathan Eovaldi that night, going seven innings in relief, getting stuck with a loss. But that was the turning point for that series. And we talked about this, you know, ad nauseum on this show. But that was a game in which you thought the momentum was going to shift towards the Dodgers. They're right. Down 2-1. And they got two more games at home. You're thinking of going back to Boston 3-1 or 3-2, down 3-2. And the Red Sox instead responded. So it just showed what kind of character that team was. It was a defining moment, even though they lost.
And I will say that was, of all the games on that list, that was probably the most memorable. I remember where I was for all 18 innings from, you know, listening to the first inning on my phone because we got to the bar late, going to the bar, to the bar closing, to the 45-minute walk home, to the 2 hours I then spent on the couch. Like, I remember where I was for every stage of that game.
I started hallucinating. I was so tired.
Yeah, that got bizarre at the end. All right, so, and again, you can vote on these on Twitter. So that's game of the year. Upset of the year. Once again, we have the Super Bowl. I have Super Bowl LI. That's incorrect. It should be LII. Super Bowl LI was almost an upset. It wasn't. The Vegas Golden Knights making it to the Stanley Cup Finals. Not necessarily a specific game, but who would have thought an expansion team would do that, right? David Price in the playoffs. You know how we feel about David Price on this show. We felt like he should be included somewhere on this list. We didn't know where, but I think it's an upset. What David Price did in the playoffs, what's an upset, right? It's an unexpected outcome, something that shouldn't happen, that nobody sees coming, and it happened. That, to me, describes David Price in the playoffs, but I think the clear winner in this category, you want to talk about things you never see happen. This had literally never happened until this year. Number 16, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. over number one Virginia in the March Madness tournament. I mean, you talk about remembering where you were, remembering what happened, remembering the game. That was cool, because that's something a lot of people thought they would never see in their lifetime.
Yeah, this is a game that you don't only put for probably upset of the year, but perhaps upset of the decade. Simply
right.
Because, again, you do not see this type of thing happen. And it helps that they had a great social media team, which made it a lot more fun.
Yeah, they did a great job.
And Virginia's, I don't know what it is about them, but it's a team that they're not Duke, but you do kind of root against them a little bit.
It's one of those ACC blue bloods that it's like, all right, we get it. You're good. Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the clear winner for that category.
I mean, that was, like you said it best, that's arguably upset of the decade, not just upset of the year.
For sure.
All right, we move on. Play of the year. So we got a little creative with this one too. The Miracle in Minnesota. We did not include the Miracle in Miami. It was on the list originally, but it was a regular season thing. We're putting that to the side. The Miracle in Minnesota, which was the Vikings and the Saints in the divisional round last year.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, right, with Stephon Diggs at the end of the game, which was an amazing moment. Andrew Benintendi's diving catch in the ALCS with the bases loaded, Craig Kimbrell imploding on the mound. Tua in the championship, the game-winning touchdown pass. And this is my pick here, and I promise I'm not always saving my pick for last. Tiger Woods, that final hole that he won, in the tournament he won. Remember, he's walking up the fairway and they showed everybody behind him. And it was just this great moment. So play/moments of the year.
Yeah.
I would go with the Tiger one though, because that was so cool.
That was definitely one of the biggest spectacles you'll see in sports. Yeah. I mean, the story of Tiger Woods, if they were to make a documentary, that would be not a pivotal moment, but that'd be
that's a major moment.
Towards the end, it's a redemption moment. It's huge.
Well, I think it depends if he wins another Masters how that movie's going to end, but I digress.
Absolutely, that's true. And hey, it could happen this year. It could happen. But my bias tells me the Benintendi catch. I don't know if that's really it, but again, that was one of the most unbelievable defensive plays you'll ever see to end a game. I do like the Tiger Woods one though. And I'll always remember seeing that crowd of people behind him as he's walking up that hill to the final hole.
Yep.
I just think given how invested everyone was into that tournament, when it wasn't that big of a tournament, it wasn't a major or anything. You have to choose that as moment of the year at the very least, or one of them.
Yeah, I mean that, and I'll go back to the Tua pass because again, just things you don't see every day. But that Tiger Woods thing, that was something special. All right, front office move of the year. This is one we did last year. I really liked. We had a little bit of trouble with it this year. Coming up with numbers, there were no really big trades this year. Like there was Manny Machado, but that didn't totally work out. There was the Jimmy Butler trade, but they had to trade him anyway. We thought about putting the Giants taking Saquon over a quarterback, but here's what we ended up with. Everything Dave Dombrowski did. We couldn't decide between signing JD Martinez, trading for Steve Pierce, trading for Nathan Eovaldi. Just everything Dave Dombrowski did turned to gold. Even the bullpen did. So Dave Dombrowski is the front office move of the year nominee. That's one. The Lakers signing LeBron. More so, I guess, LeBron picking the Lakers because it's a no-brainer to sign LeBron. But
yeah,
it's LeBron. We put him on the list. The Raiders hiring John Gruden. So this isn't best front office move of the year. This is just front office move of the year. Just kind of like whoa factor, I guess. So, I mean, John Gruden, they signed him to a $100 million 10-year contract. A guy who hadn't coached in 10 years. That's insane. And we don't necessarily know that it didn't work yet. They're having a bad year, but he clearly has a plan. And 3-4 years down the road, if everything works out, this team's going to be really, really good in Vegas, but really, really good. So the Raiders hiring John Gruden. And then, again, we got creative. This move from America's front office, that being the government, legalizing sports betting, which is a big one. I know a lot of people are happy about that. I'm honestly torn on this. All but the LeBron one. Again, we just put that on there because that's LeBron.
Really? So I'm the opposite of you.
Where was the wow factor in that? I feel like we knew that was going to happen for years.
I think it's just, again, it's the impact. So I guess it's how you perceive this category. It's the impact of
– A lot of this is open to interpretation for the record.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just the impact of the most talented player of his generation, one of the best basketball players of all time, a household name,
yep.
one of the biggest athletes in the world, definitely of our lifetime, signing with the Los Angeles Lakers of all team, one of the biggest sports, one of the biggest franchises in all of sports. It's just the gravity of that move and kind of just the shift in his career. So for me, that's why he's number one on that list. If you're talking about front office people of the year, front office moves of the year in the regard of the best, because I wouldn't count that in that category.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave Dombrowski getting Nathan Eovaldi, getting Steve Pierce, stalling on JD Martinez.
Yeah.
Stalling.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Getting him for like $100 million less than he wanted.
Yeah, way less. He got a bargain, although there is an opt-out after this year. So that's that. Those are my two answers. I would say Raiders hiring John Gruden might not be the worst move of the year. And legalizing sports gambling, awesome. You got to love it. You got to love it. Although, I mean, I don't know who wasn't gambling before it was legal.
It's just easier. It's easier.
You can go to Twin Rivers and
right.
Do it up.
So shout out to America's front office, although I guess they're technically – they didn't have a great year. Well, it depends who you ask, but we're not going to go down that road. breakout star of the year. We didn't do rookie of the year because that's pretty typical, but like guys who kind of burst on the scene, Patrick Mahomes, Brad Marchand. I mean, he'd been good, but he really had that huge year. Donovan Mitchell in the NBA. We did not put Ben Simmons on this list because it is not a rookie of the year list. And then Blake Snell, who won the Cy Young and just tore through everybody. I think Donovan Mitchell, just because there was so much hype about the draft class he was in, and then to do what he did, kind of like he was under the radar for the first like 4 months, how nasty this kid was. And the way he handled it too, he was just, you know, I don't think he ever got too big of a head about it. I don't think he ever let it get to him. Like Mahomes has been great, don't get me wrong. And he's a close second, but I think Donovan Mitchell, like the way he burst on the scene, mostly the 2017-2018 NBA season, but the way he's continued it this year, Donovan Mitchell's my guy.
I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes simply because he's the next in line.
Yeah.
Brady's on his way out.
Well, how many times have we said that about a guy and then he sucks? Like, wasn't Derek Robert Carr. Griffin III the next in line at one point?
Who?
Robert Griffin III.
No. He never had this type of success. I would say that Mahomes, though, I think he's proven what he's capable of. He's a guy not a fluky talent. Like, people don't look at Jared Goff the same way as they look at Mahomes. People don't look at Carson Wentz the same way they look at Patrick Mahomes. Yep. Once Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady exit this league and Drew Brees, it's his league. He's the guy. The reason I want to go with Donovan Mitchell is because he's a great young player, but he's one of many great young players. Maybe he is a future MVP. Maybe he is a future superstar. It looks like he is. It's just the quarterback position for me is that much more valuable. I put that much more weight on it.
I just don't. I mean, everything we're saying about Mahomes this year, we said about Wentz last year. So I need 3 years to. And look, Mahomes certainly broke out this year, and that's. I mean, I guess that's what the award is. But my thing
he's
about
a better arm too.
Calling Mahomes the next guy. We've called people the next guy every year for the last 5 years, and most of those guys are now, you know, not the next guy. So I need 3 years to see a quarterback before I can decide if they're good or not.
Isn't there something different about Mahomes that differentiates you? No? You don't think so?
I mean, yeah, the difference is the weapons around him. He has Tyreek Hill.
That's true.
Like, that's the difference. You give Wentz Tyreek Hill, he's going to put up great numbers. And he does it very – I think the other thing is Mahomes, he just looks very unorthodox. I don't know that that's better. He looks different the way he plays, but
well, the no look stuff drives me crazy.
Right? I don't like that's not sustainable, but that's another rant for another day. mistakes of the year. So the biggest mistakes of the year: JD Martinez not being an MVP finalist, just stupid. That idiot who won't vote for Mariano Rivera for the Hall of Fame. That's a mistake. Should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. The new NFL contact rules didn't end up being as impactful as we thought, but. I mean, there's at least two games a week where you could argue the decision changed based on these new rules that never were really clarified to anybody. And then J.R. Smith forgetting the score or the clock or whatever it was in the NBA Finals when he just started dribbling the ball out, right? And we got the meme with LeBron pointing. That's the biggest mistake for me in the NBA Finals to not know the situation. Like, that was atrocious.
That's definitely up there. And I mean, it's so on par for J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
I think given the stage, that's probably number one for me as well. But it's worth talking about just the Hall of Fame in the MLB and just how flawed it can be. I mean, I think the more egregious thing, even more so than not voting for Mariano Rivera, is voting in a guy like Tim Raines or Baines. And
yeah.
Like, see, I don't even know his name. Yeah. And he was an underwhelming hitter during his day. He was maybe above average, but simply because he was a designated hitter, I think that's why he got in. And it's just such a fluky thing, especially when you consider, you know, A-Rod's never going to get in. Barry Bonds is never going to get into the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens will never get into the Hall of Fame. Maybe Veterans Committee, but it's kind of BS. It's bogus.
So
I think the Hall of Fame's a mistake. J.D. Martinez not being on the MVP finalist, that's just analytics. I guess it's the war.
We had like five baseball nominees, and then we decided like we have to vary up the sports for this. But I mean, I think it's clear like baseball was the biggest mistake of 20. Just about everything baseball's doing. I mean, this would get super technical, but you want to go down to the minors. I experienced the runner on second rule in extra innings this year at work. That's stupid. That's beyond dumb. Still not having a pitch clock, dumb. Still not having a salary cap, dumb. Like everything baseball did except let the Red Sox win the World Series is a mistake.
I agree.
All right. Disappointment of the year. So the biggest disappointment, again, we got a little creative with this. Rob Gronkowski is number one. Obviously a big time down year for him. Both from a fantasy football point of view and just, you know, for the Patriots, did not get the production they were counting on from him. It looks like this could be his last year. Tiger versus Phil, that special that aired during Thanksgiving. I don't know. There were just a lot of technical issues with it. The ending was very forced. They're just playing the same hole over and over again. In theory, it was a good idea. I just felt there was so much potential it didn't achieve. That was a little disappointing to me. Giancarlo Stanton, look, he drove in 100 runs. He hit 260, but I mean, you were saying this to me. You ask any Yankee fan how they feel about Stanton, they're going to use the word disappointment, at least so far. So we'll throw Stanton on there. And the Monday Night Football announcing crew, from Jason Witten talking nonsense to the Booger
Mobile, Booger?
Blocking up Booger, Booger, and him blocking people in the first row. They finally moved him up to the booth last week. Joe Tessitore is fine. I mean, he's great at boxing. His football play-by-play is pretty good. But those other two are just, I mean, they're just holding out for Peyton Manning. I think everybody knows it at this point.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Jason Witten just is not made to be in a booth. I think a lot of guys make that jump.
Gruden, who was excellent.
Unbelievable.
Right. To Witten, disappointment.
There's a video of him telling a player to shut the F up last week. I loved it because it's John Gruden and it's, you don't expect him to say that type of stuff. Disappointment of the year for me. It's gotta be Rob Gronkowski. It just seems like we talked about earlier in the show, the demise of the Patriots. It begins with the guy in Rob Gronkowski. Yeah. And the more I think about it, the less I am confident that he will return next season. I'd say there's an 80% chance he retires at the end of this year. He's not nearly as productive as he was. And I'm just thinking about all the scenarios in regard to where the Patriots end up. If it's an early exit in the playoffs, why would he come back? That's going to leave a sour taste in his mouth. If they win a Super Bowl, why would he come back? He can go out on top.
Goes out on top. Yeah.
So for me, that's the biggest disappointment, because he goes from being the most dominant tight end that we've ever seen play this game to a guy who's going to be retired at the age of 29 or 30.
All right, and the final category, we did this one last year. I think David Price won this last year, I think.
Probably, yeah, he deserved it.
D-bag of the year. We have one baseball player and three football NFL people, not players, you'll see. So first and foremost, Manny Machado. I mean, guy's a D-bag. What else can I say? Lebowitz was very heavy campaigning for Jalen Ramsey.
Absolutely.
Certainly did his share of talking this year. Josh McDaniels bailed on the Colts, got Tom Brady hurt on a meaningless play. And I'm going to start yelling again if I keep talking about that. And then Baker Mayfield, just everything, all of Baker Mayfield in 2018.
Let me tell you something about Baker Mayfield. People like to act like he's cool because he's a dick, but he's just a dick. Like he dances. Oh my God. He dances. That's so crazy. But he is an arrogant little prick. Let me tell you something. Well, he did a Hugh Jackson last week, staring him down. That dude did nothing.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
Did you want Hugh Jackson to fire himself and then not – like, he was brutal at his job. He should have been out of Cleveland a really long time ago. Instead, they kept him with a new quarterback. And then he took another job like anyone would want to do. And Baker Mayfield acted like he took his mother out. Like, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous how big of a douchebag this guy has. I get it. He went from walk on to Heisman to number one overall pick. You gotta respect it. Still a douche. He's the most underrated douchebag. Jalen Ramsey, I don't know if I'd even say he's a douche. He's just so arrogant. So it depends again on your interpretation. But Baker Mayfield, he needs to get bullied a little bit more, if you ask me.
So I'm gonna go with I don't even know who I'm gonna go with here. I changed my mind three times during that rant. I think we all
is that a good thing for me or
no, it's good. That was powerful. I appreciated that. I liked Baker staring Hugh down because what was Hugh gonna do? But it's gamesmanship,
it's being a dick.
This is like, look, clearly Hugh Jackson was doing something wrong. Maybe Baker felt he could have done his job better while he was in Cleveland. Maybe we don't know what happened behind the scenes. Maybe they did have issues. I don't know. I'm between Machado and McDaniels. McDaniels isn't a D-bag for what he's done with the Patriots. The thing he did to the Colts was wrong. And to leave all those people who had already signed contracts with the Colts, it was just so douchey.
He might be idiot of the year because I think he ruined a lot of opportunities.
The moment of the year for sports in 2018, like when they reek all the year-end montages, the last shot in all of those montages could be Manny Machado on a knee whiffing on a Chris Sale fastball. And that's just like that. That's his legacy. Now, I don't care what he does next year. I don't care where he goes. I don't care what he does. Manny Machado's legacy is being down on one knee, striking out at the hand of Chris Sale to end the World Series. So I'm going to go Manny Machado for D-bag of the year.
I like that. Can we make if they rank for office, Dustin Pedroia would be his VP.
Of course. Yeah. And I mean, we have plenty of time to get into Dustin Pedroia in 2019. We have plenty of time to get into. So I normally end the show with saying, here's what's happening next week. So let's do this. Next year on the Calling It podcast, we will have the Red Sox going for back-to-back World Series. The Celtics continuing to try to storm to be like the youngest team in decades to win an NBA title. The Patriots' potential collapse, or will they rebound on historical proportions? And who knows, over the course of a year, we might talk about the Bruins once or twice. So that's what we have. Obviously, next week for you, though, we dive all into the NFL playoffs next week. We'll know the teams, we'll know the bracket, we'll know who has the buys, we'll know the favorites. So we will discuss all of that next week. There'll probably be some baseball free agency news, too. It looks like Machado, he's going to decide right after New Year's. So New Year's, I said that weird. We'll discuss that. And of course, everything else. You can follow us on Twitter. Again, we'll have all the polls for those awards up on our Twitter account at Calling It Podcast, and all the show information, all that as well. You can also find us on clnsmedia.com. If you just get the brand new clnsmedia.com, you just click on the podcast tab, you can find us there. Lebowitz, any lasting words to leave 2018 with?
We failed to mention Dustin Pedroia. That's the one thing that's really regarding this podcast. But now that we mentioned him at the end, he could be disappointment of the year simply because of his leadership skills or lack thereof. And for 2019, looking ahead, what's his role in Boston? I think that's the biggest question mark. And is this his last season in Red Sox uniform?
My lasting thoughts for 2019. Remember, I said this because when we do disappointments next year, there's a good chance this ends up being in the disappointments. But give the AAF a chance, and in 2020, give the XFL a chance. That's all I'm saying. Give these secondary football leagues a chance. I know there's a 50% chance the AAF ends up disappointment, although next year, I guess, we'll do of the decade instead of a year.
So, ooh.
Next year, big show coming up a year from right now. But listen to all the episodes in between, of course, on the Call In Podcast for Alex Lebowitz. I'm Alex Barth. Have a safe new year, the most overrated holiday, by the way, and we didn't get into that, but it is.
I agree.
I encourage everybody, have a fun New Year's. Have a safe New Year's. Here's to peace and love in 2019. We will talk to you in 2019. Thanks for listening.